Welcome to all of you guys. So glad to have you. We're on a quest to wholeness and reason a book that I wrote as a guide along the way. And today I'm going to be talking out of chapter 9. But if you haven't gotten this yet, you can get it on the way out. It's at the table. Those of you that are online, you can get it on Amazon or Barnes & Noble or wherever you get books. But if you'd like a deeper study, a more in-depth study on this, please go get this. There's an ebook version too online. And for those of you that do not like to read, there's an audiobook version coming someday. Audible's taking forever. I'm not sure when that's going to happen, but it is going to happen. So I want to introduce to you JD and Lucy Perez. Would you guys stand, please? I want to introduce y'all to this fine couple, beautiful family that we have in San Marcos. Now, they joined our family, our church family, 10 years ago in 2010. And at that point, they just had a little baby girl. And just a few years after that, God moved them to Mexico. And so they've been living in Mexico City, one of the largest cities in the world, and just doing God's work there. And then just a few months ago, God says, time to come back to the United States. So his job transferred him up here. So they're here in U.S., in San Marcos, back in Promised Land. So we're just so glad to have you. They added to their family a little boy in Mexico. And so his world's rocked right now because he's in a foreign country. But Lucy's going to be taking the role of our missions pastor here at Promised Land, helping us with international stuff, local mission projects. So if you're interested in any of that, I want you to meet Lucy and JD. So let's welcome them and give them a hand. Yeah. Yeah. So we've been approaching wholeness the last few weeks from this one particular angle, which is that Satan is wooing us or tempting us to look at that one thing that we can't control. Whether your life's got all this good stuff going on or not, he wants you to focus on the thing that you can't have. So for Eve, it was that one fruit that she couldn't have, and Adam, that one fruit. For us, it may be that one part of your life that you can't figure out or can't control. So he wants you to think, this is everything. If I don't have this, my life's terrible, and blah, 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 all that stuff. Satan is still doing that to this day. But I want to go the opposite direction today. I want to flip it around, and I want to ask you, and I want you to like really spend a few minutes thinking about this. What's going really well in your life right now? If you're to think about the inventory of your life and, you know, think about your health, think about your family, think about your finances. If you were to go through, maybe it's your GPA, whatever it is that you would put, that's at the top right now. That's going pretty well. If I think about my life, just think about it for a second. Like go through, what would it be? What would be the thing that I would say is going the best for me? I had to think about it, and I think, man, my family's going great right now. My wife is right here on the front row. She is beautiful. We've been married 21 years, on and on, on and on. I can say that with confidence. Yeah, it's good. I can say in confidence we're doing well, because I said that the last service, and I was like, wait, are you sure? She gave me the thumbs up, so I can say it. I felt it was great. She feels it's great. Our daughter is about to turn 19 next month. We have two boys that are 14 and 16. Just, they're doing well in school. They're in athletics. I love watching my son play football. I mean, when I think of my family, I'm like, man, that's the best thing going for me right now, you know? I just love going home, love spending time with them. And so what if you were to say, this is the best thing going for me, what would that be? You know, would it be that you've got graduation in your vision? Like, I'm almost there. At least I got that going for me. I'm about to finish. Or maybe it's that you finally got a financial nest egg. If you got that in 2020, that's a miracle, okay? But maybe your 401k is stable now. At Promised Land, we really value paying off debt. We have a whole course called Financial Peace University where we help people save money, pay off debt, you know, save for retirement, get insurance established, all that kind of stuff. We love helping people get financially stable. And just over the last year, I've had two people come to me and say they paid off their house 100%. And they're just, their facial expression is just like, and they didn't win the lottery to do it. You know, like they've been saving, they've been putting stuff away, they've been sacrificing to pay off their house. That's a huge thing. And maybe that's you. Maybe you've got that taken care of, and that's, you would say, you know, my finances are the best thing that's going for me. So I just want to make sure you know before we go any further that I'm not trying to devalue that. I'm not trying to take any of that away from you. Those are genuinely good stuff. And my family life, that's real. There's nothing wrong with that. It's a great thing that's in my life. And so I don't want you to think as I continue this message that those good things are bad, unless it's illegal or immoral or something that you say, you know, like my bank robbery is really the best part of my life right now. If that's the case, then let's talk. But if it's not that, then okay, good. But I have a proposition for you that what if whatever you said is really not the best thing going for you, but the best thing that's going for you is that you are a child of God. What if that was the best thing you had going for you? Before these other things. Over the last few weeks, we've covered several different topics. The first one, I just want to give you a bullet point list in case you weren't here, but the first one is wholeness can actually be present in the midst of trouble or chaos. There's many people that don't realize that wholeness and trouble can coexist, so they think that wholeness is elusive, so they just keep chasing. So that was week one. We talked about wholeness can actually be present in the midst of trouble. Week two was wholeness starts at the deepest levels below the surface. So a lot of times people would say, you know what, just fix this certain part of your life and then wholeness will trickle down. That's not what the Bible teaches us. That's not what God's way. That's not God's way. God's way is I want to start at the very core of who you are and who I am and who you are in me. And then I'm going to bring wholeness up from that. And I want to bring it upwards. And so we're going to start at the very core, deepest part of us. And then the third thing we talked about last week is that wholeness comes from being accepted by God. So many of us chase after everyone else's approval. We long for it. We sacrifice ourselves to get other people to like us. And sometimes we do immoral things for other people to like us. Or we strive for God to like us. You think that you have to fight for God to like you. That's not the case. God loves you as you are. Wholeness comes from being accepted by God. And I want to go a little further in that today and say that wholeness comes from being accepted as a child of God. He doesn't just accept you as a neighbor or a coworker. God doesn't accept you as his friend. He accepts you as his kid. He accepts you as his kid. I'll go a little further and say his favorite kid. That's who you are. Any other favorites in here? I know you got a sibling group. You're the favorite. Come on, Desiree. I know you think you are. I know I think I am. Come on. Favorite. God's excited about you. God loves you. You're his kid, and he's excited about being with you. And I just hope you'll let this truth today confront you. That's a weird word, I know, but I hope it confronts you. And this is honestly a tough sermon to preach because it's because you've heard this so many times. Like, if you're not a preacher, you probably think that messages about money or sex or other taboo subjects are the hardest one to speak about, but those aren't really that hard because we don't talk about them that much and there's a bunch to say about it. This you hear about all the time. You, in your head, you could probably tell me and regurgitate this stuff. And so what hurts my heart, though, is that even though people can say it with their mind, they're not living it out. Not living as a child of God. Let me just say that being a son or daughter of God is the best thing going for you. It is. Being a child of God is better than having a great retirement plan. Being a child of God is better than having obedient kids. Parents, been waiting on that one. Being a child of God is better than having your dream home. Just a couple years ago, Erica and I found some land out here. If you keep going past the church up Hilliard Road, there's a community, there's a culture up there. It's called The Rock, living on The Rock. You don't understand what I'm saying until you go up there, and the people up there just have this identity, we're rock people. And so we found a place at the end of the road. It's beautiful. I mean, we fell in love with it. And literally, it's a rock. I mean, there's a little bit of dirt and a lot of rocks everywhere. And so we started falling in love with it. We designed a house. We built a house. It took, you know, a lot of effort and energy and money and people pulling for us and pulling strings for us. And we finally got into this place, and we love it. Ah, so cool. So good. We want to die there. And we're just like, this is awesome. I mean, we look out our view. We love our view. We love sunrises and sunsets and deer and fox and coyote. And it's just like, oh, we even have a deer stand out there to harvest sausage and stuff like that out of. We're true Texans. Have a deer stand at our house. And a little while into living there, I started feeling a conviction in my heart that God was speaking to me. And he said, Robin, would you move from here? Ooh. I don't want to. Lord, I'll go wherever you tell me to go. But I don't want to move from here. Don't call me. I love this place. It's our dream home. We love it. It's not a mansion. It's not huge. It's not like, you know, something you'd see on television of lifestyles, the rich and famous, but it's just so peaceful, so quiet, it's so perfect. But being a child of God's better than that. It's better. It's better than that. The Bettis has just got a home up. Y'all are kind of on the eastern side of the rock, and there's came with a donkey. Come on, somebody. They got a burro that come with the house. That's a dream home, man. That's awesome. But being a child of God's better than that. Being a child of God's better than having good friends. It's better than having a boss that favors you, that honors you. I want to read this scripture. 1 John 3:1 says, see how very much our Father loves us, for he calls us his children. He loves you so much that he calls you his kid. And that is what we are. That's your identity. That's who you are, is a child of God. There's so many people going to church week after week, longing for this silver bullet that's just going to really change their life. And I grew up in a church culture where people go to the altar and pray and cry and just, this is going to be the moment. This is going to be the time. This is going to be the, I just praying and believing that this is, I'm going to hear something. I'm going to feel something. And this is it. You're a child of the Heavenly Father that has all authority and power and knowledge and strength. I want you to think about this, that being a child of God, that's your identity. I want you to think about that being your first line of defense. Or maybe you could say your first line of offense. Whenever the cloud of darkness comes your way, and it comes towards every person in here, every person watching, you're going to have a cloud of darkness come your way. And it may have a face of finances. It may have a face of a boyfriend, a girlfriend. It may have a face of physical diagnosis. It may just have no face at all. It may just be a heaviness, a depression, a darkness that can be overwhelming to you. And I feel that sometimes. And sometimes when that comes our way, our first line of defense is that best thing going, whatever it is. Here's what I want to propose to you today. That whenever that comes your way, instead of combating it with anything else, send out your identity first. I am a child of God. And whatever's coming my way, as dark and as ugly and as heavy and as out of control as I am with it, I want you to know you have to answer to the fact that I'm a child of God. That's a filter, that's a lens, that's a screen, whatever you want to call it, that pressure, that darkness, that anger, that heaviness has to come through that to get to who you are. I'm a child of God. That is who I am. Now, you deal with that, ugly spirit, darkness, whatever. You deal with that, and then you can come talk to me. And there's nothing that the devil can do to come through that filter of your identity as God's kid. So important, so powerful. I use movies, you know, as illustrations a lot, and I forget sometimes that I watch the edited versions of them, and then I talk to you about these movies, and they've been filtered, and, you know, stuff's been taken out of them, and I've talked a few times about movies, and then I'll get an email the next week, like, hey, we just sat down as a family and watched this movie. So what I'm about to tell you, do not go watch this movie, okay? Just want to clarify that. But I want to tell you, I want to talk to you about Coming to America. If you've seen this movie, this is for people that have seen it already, okay? You're contaminated already, all right? There's Hakim. He is the son of the king of a very, very wealthy nation in Africa. And he's going to inherit everything. He's going to be the king himself when his father passes this throne to him. So he is royalty. He's the son. He's a prince. He has the authority to, you know, to do anything he wants. And so he wants to come up and have his own spouse that loves him for who he is. And so he decides to come to America in order to meet his wife. So he comes to America, coming to America, and he decides that he's not going to display his royalty, and so he just comes as, you know, this poor man. It's played by Eddie Murphy, so he goes to Queens, New York. The place is disgusting. He finds a place to rent as an apartment, and it's got rats and roaches and crickets and snakes, and there's people yelling and screaming and violence going on, and you hear gunshots, and police officers are driving by with their sirens going on, and he gets into his apartment. He's so excited about it, and he's just like, I'm in America, he decides he's got to get a job, you know, to really play the part. And so he gets a job at this McDonald's type restaurant, McDougal's or something like that. And when I was telling this in the 9 o'clock service, everybody just started telling me every detail of this movie. So they're like very efficient at this movie. Anyway, so he goes through all these challenges, and, you know, when he's in Africa, he's had everything done for him. He's fed, he's dressed, he's, you know, worked out. I mean, every single thing, everything's taken care of. Now he's in this place where he has to do everything. It's dirty, it's filthy, it's ugly, it's bad. People are making fun of him. They don't know who he is. He goes to work. He's having to mop and sweep and clean up. And the customers are rude to him, mad at him. And it's just this really interesting story. Well, he has a friend come with him Arsenio Hall comes with him from Africa to America. He has a completely different perspective because of his position. Now, the interesting thing about Hakim, who is the prince, is that whenever he comes to these difficult situations in America, he always has this smile on his face. He's just excited about going to work. He's excited about the violence. He's excited about a landlord that's always cursing him out. And he's just like, yeah, I can't. And he's sweeping and he's singing and he's excited. And he does all these horrible things. He's involved in all these, you know, dark situations. And he's just got this attitude of joy. His friend, who also has the wealth and has the stuff, has a different perspective, and he's upset. He's always trying to prove himself. He's trying to get girls to like him, and he's buying things, trying to make the apartment look cool, and he's just struggling, and he gets into so much trouble. But Hakim is just at rest. And the reason why he's at such peace throughout this movie is because he knows who he is. And his position as the son of the king is deeply rooted in who he is. And so, man, he can sweep and he can mop because he knows he's going back to the kingdom and he's going to be living forever as the king of Kamunda or whatever it's called in Africa. And so he's able to combat and address the ugliness and the darkness because he is so confident in who he is. Y'all see where I'm going with this? That's what we need to be like. Less like Arsenio, more like Eddie, okay? Instead of like, oh, I wanted you to like me, I want to buy stuff, and I need comfort, and I need all this kind of stuff. We need to rest that we are the son and daughter of not just the king of a country, but the king of kings and the Lord of lords. We are in the bloodline because of Jesus Christ to inherit something that's going to be gloriously perfect. This place, this realm that we live in that's so heavy and dark and difficult is not the last chapter of our life. It's not the last chapter of this world. In fact, God is coming back and we are going to rule and reign with him forever in a new heaven and a new earth that's going to be perfectly glorious and beautiful. So next time you are doing your tasks, doing your work, listening to the ugliness of people around you and saying things about you, you just need to be mopping with a smile. Why? Because this is not the end. Not only is it not the end, but God's going to give you the power to make it today. God's going to give you the ability, because he is your kid, he's going to provide for you, he's going to take care of you, and you just need to have that perspective of, I'm his kid, and he's got this taken care of, I don't have to worry about this stuff. I want to show you a picture of my family. This is my wife, Erica, on the far right. This is our daughter, Kennedy, in the middle. These are our sons, Jude and Avery. And isn't that a beautiful picture? Isn't that a beautiful family? Come on. It's a beautiful family. Yes. Thank you. My kids are talented. They're good looking. Kennedy has the greatest attitude on the planet. I mean, there's just so many things about this family that's great and beautiful. And these boys and Kennedy have zero clue how hard it is to be their parents. They have no idea. The other day, it was time for football season to start. And their feet have grown. Their bodies have grown. So it's time for cleats, it's time for socks, it's time for mouth guards, it's time for padded shirts and cool hats, and, you know, we got to do this. It's football season. So the expectation is, we're going to get the card from mom and dad, we're going to go to academy, we're going to get what we need. Expectation. What happened? They came, they got the card, and they got what they needed. It's just the way it is. Now we're like, okay, next time you go to the store, let's buy the cleats that are a little cheaper next time than these cleats. But the expectation is really what I want you to grab a hold of today. Because as we get older, life is tougher. And we have to work. We have to work. We have to, you know, elbow grease and fight and dig and claw. I mean, to survive on the planet, we do have to work. And that's important. That's responsibility. And that's what we have to do as human beings. We do have to work. But the problem that we have is we take that adult paradigm and we apply that to our relationship with God. We take our parental paradigm or our business transactional paradigm and use that with our relationship with God instead of just being His kids. And there's people that have fallen away from their relationship with God, and they feel like, yeah, someday I'll go back. Someday I'll do that, you know, whenever I can live a different way, or when I'm not interested in this over here, when I, you know, there's all these things that we as adults say, or the older you get, about going back to church or going back to a relationship with God, and it's such a transactional mindset of when I'm good, then I'll be back with God, or, you know, one of these days I'll start going again. One of these days I'll start being good again. And unfortunately, that's been taught in churches, like in order to be with God, you have to keep performing a certain way. That's not good news. That's not good news at all. And I have come to give you good news today. You're not going to be right with God because you finally figured it out. You're not going to be accepted and loved by God as His kid because you've performed like some, you know, circus monkey for a certain amount of time, and now all of a sudden God is going to approve of you. It's not a transactional thing. It's not a work and earn something thing. I mean, technically it is. Your salvation did have a very, very high price tag on it, and it was a transactional thing, but Jesus already did the transaction for you. That's what the good news is. The good news is that Jesus already did the work for you. It is expensive. It's not cheap. It is really, really pricey, but that's what makes Jesus so awesome. And it just breaks my heart when I see people trying so hard to make it to heaven. I was just talking to somebody the other day, and he said, I think I'm going to make it. I think I'm going to get there. I felt so sorry for him. He's living his life in fear that someday he'll, if it happens at just the right time, if the rapture happens at just the right time, or I die when I've just asked for forgiveness, you know what that does? It completely takes the focus of your salvation off of Jesus, and it puts it on you. And then you either feel good about it because you're like really nailing it and looking down your nose at other people, or you always live in this terrible guilt of like, I'm not ever going to make it. That's not good news. That's not the gospel of Jesus. The gospel of Jesus is that He did the work for you. All you have to do is trust that He did. I believe that you did. I believe that you gave your life for me. I believe that you sacrificed and took my place. I believe that you did that. And that posture of humility and submission to Jesus then set you up to live your life as a son or daughter of God, and as a result, fruit comes, and holiness comes, and good works come, because it started with a total surrender of yourself and a total reliance on Jesus, giving him all the glory for it. So Jesus talked about this in Luke, the 15th chapter, where there was a young man who had taken the inheritance from his father, and he'd gone and tried to make it, and he failed. And he wasted the money, the economy went bad, and this young man was out eating out of the trough of the pigs. And he has this revelation while he's eating from the trough. He goes, man, I would be better as a servant in my father's house than sitting here eating from these pigs. And so he gets this idea, you know what, I'm going to go back and I'm going to plead my case with the father, my father, and see if he'll just have me come back as a servant. And so he starts his track home, and all the way I'm sure he's rehearsing it. Okay, father, I messed up. I took the money. I messed it. I lost it. If I could just have it. So he's like going through it in his mind. And Luke 15, 20, it says, so he returned home to his father. And while he was still a long way off, some of you are a long way off right now. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter how far away you are. Come home. Come home. While he's still, this is the gospel right here. While he's still a long way off, the Father doesn't wait for him to come to the Father. The gospel is that the Father went to him. And he didn't go with him with bitterness and anger. How could you take my money and waste it? Instead, it says he's filled with love and compassion. He ran to his son, embraced him, and kissed him. I love you, and I miss you. What does the son do? The son drops to his knees, and he starts into his big spiel. Father, I took it, and I'm so sorry. He's like pleading his case. I'm so sorry. I messed up. I took the money. I spent it. I thought it was going to be okay. I got addicted. Things happened. I lost it all. If I could just be in the servant's quarters, I'll just be over there. You don't have to worry about it. You don't have to talk to me. I mean, this son is like just going on and on and on, and he kind of looks up. And his father's not even listening to him. The father's like, okay, guys, I need y'all to do it. And the son's like, what, dad? You know. The father doesn't listen because his father is telling the servants, quick, bring the finest robe in the house and put it on him. Get a ring for his finger and sandals for his feet. Kill the calf that we've been fattening. Kill the best one. We must celebrate it with a feast. For this son of mine was dead, but now he's returned to life. He was lost, but now he's found. So the party began. I'm here to tell you today that there's going to be a party in your life. But it's not going to be because you figured it out. It's not going to be because you finally convinced God to like you. In the book, I talk about when the stench of your old life is still strong. And you think, I can't. I get emotional because I think of people in my life that if they knew how easy it was, if they knew how good that Jesus is, they would be here. But they're not, because they have believed the lie that it's about them, that it's about religion, that it's about their performance. And they just don't feel like they fit in. They don't feel like they're accepted. And so we've got to tell them the good news. We've got to share with them the truth. This is such good news when you hear this. It's not about joining a church. It's not about all of that stuff. It's about the fact that Jesus Christ loves you exactly the place and the position that you're at right now. and that he is eager to put a robe on you. He's eager to give you a ring and shoes on your feet. The shoes on his feet was a symbol that he was not a servant. Servants didn't have shoes, but kids had shoes. And then the ring was a step further, because it wasn't just any ring, but it was the family signet ring that would have the symbol of the family on it, so that he could go into business transactions and that he could seal things in the name of the family, that he had the rights and the authorities of his father wherever he went, because he had the ring on his finger, he had the shoes on his feet, he had the coat around him. Would you stand with me right now? I feel the presence of God in this room, and I know that God's doing something special in this moment right here. Every service today has been unique. Every service has been different. It's come out, the message has come out differently depending on, I guess, who's in there, who's listening, who's watching. Jesus loves you dearly. He wants to be with you today. And if you want to be with him, we're coming home right now. Would you bow your heads with me and close your eyes? And I want us to pray together. I want you to pray with me. I can't really pray for you, but I can pray with you. And we're just going to pray a prayer of surrender. And even though the Father does welcome us with open arms, we still want to be submissive and repentant before him. And so that's what we're going to do. If you'll just pray this with me. Heavenly Father, I come to you in the name of Jesus. I submit myself to you right now. I humble myself before you. Please forgive me of my sin. I want to go a new path. I want to go a new way. I want to be in your family. Thank you for loving me and welcoming me today. I receive the new life. I trust you, Jesus. I trust that you did the work for me. I trust that you paid the price for me. It was expensive and you did it. You didn't have to do it. You could have left us alone. You could have started over, but you didn't. You love me so much. Thank you, Jesus. Would you just make it personal right now? Say, I thank you, Jesus, for saving my life. I thank you, Jesus, for forgiving me. I am excited about walking this path with you. Please fill me with your spirit. Please help me in every way. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. Would you clap your hands right now and thank God for what he's doing? Amen.
Well, let's clap one more time for Pastor Rob and the word he brought this morning. Let's clap for Jesus and everything he's doing. It's so good. You could be seated for just a moment. I want to talk to you for just a second. If you're watching online, we hope that the service was everything it was here, wherever you are. If you're in your car or you're at home, or maybe you're listening via podcast, we just pray that you experience this moment with us, this truth that Pastor Alvin brought forth. And our prayer this morning is that everyone would leave knowing that this is the true identity that you walk in and live in. And it was just communicated so wonderfully. So we're thankful for that. We're thankful that you're here. If it's your first time here, we want to say welcome. It's not by accident that you're here this morning. We believe that it's on purpose, that God had a plan and a purpose for you to be here. And we want to get to meet you. We want to get to know you. So please find us and talk to us. Fill out a connect card. Drop it in on the offering bucket on the way out, the offering stand that we have now on the way out. And we'd love to connect with you. We exist so that prodigal sons and daughters can find home and find rest. And everything that we sang in that second song just fits so wonderfully, you know. We had the same message in the first two services, but just such a different atmosphere right now. I just feel on my heart that we're not done with it completely. And so if you're watching online or you're in the building and your heart is just turning, your head is just running, maybe your leg is shaking or something, you're feeling something you never felt before, this is the presence of God. And for some of us, it might be comfortable, and for others, it might be a little uncomfortable. But the reality is that we were created for moments like this. And if we're uncomfortable, that's okay right now. We're going to continue to have them and get comfortable in it, because one day we'll spend eternity in the presence of God, in awe of His goodness and His mercy and His grace. We can do a lot of things in church. We can sing a lot of songs, play videos, and preach messages, but we'll trade it all in one moment for something like this. So it's a little different. For some of us, it's a little weird. But I just believe that God wants to love on some of you right now. I believe there's people in here that God's saying, I'm so happy that you're here. I'm so happy that you're back. I believe there's people in here who've been hurt and broken, damaged, abused, forgotten, confused. God is just here for you right now. The Bible says we cast our cares on Him because He cares for us. I know Pastor Robin already prayed, but I just want to pray for you one more time. Father, right now, we just thank You that You're here and that You're resting, God. We don't want to push these moments away. We don't want to rush through them. God, we'll push to the side ball games and plans and our agenda for moments with You. Thank You, God, first for our pastor who opened himself up and brought the word, who was a vessel for this moment. And now that You're here, we just rest in You, God. We say thank You for being so faithful, so good. God, we're thankful that right now in this moment You're bringing prodigal sons and daughters home. God, I'm thankful that there's people that don't know You at all that are experiencing You for the first time right now. I'm thankful that there's people who have known You for a long time and who have a great relationship with You, but just needed a little bit of fresh wind, a little bit of refreshing. There's someone in here who just needs a little bit of a reminder. Hey, God's here. He's for you. He's never left you, and He never will. God, thank You for that reminder. God, I believe there's someone in here right now, and I just lift them up to You, that stress has hit their life like it's never hit their life before. And it has changed everything around them 360 degrees. God, I pray that as they enjoy Your presence, that it would break that bondage over their life. It would break that heaviness. God, there's people that tomorrow has brought fear over their life. Every day, tomorrow's fearful. Every day, tomorrow's fearful. Because of what they've experienced in life, God, that they would experience Your peace that surpasses all understanding. We give You praise, honor, and glory for everything You've done, everything You're doing, and everything You're still going to do. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 Hey, I want to give you a couple quick announcements before we let you go. And as you go, God's going to go with you. We want you to know the Holy Spirit doesn't just exist in these four walls. The presence of God doesn't just exist in these four walls, but He's going to go with you in everything you do. So have joy that this doesn't have to just stay here. But we have a few things. Number one, this Wednesday at 7 p.m. is First Wednesday worship, where we just... My prayer right now is just we're just going to jump right into where we left off at the 12 o'clock on Sunday. Come on. And it's going to be a great time of communion, family, fellowship, some worship, a word. It's going to be amazing. So we want to invite you. Everyone's welcome. Same things are going to apply just like Sunday mornings. We'll take precautions. Everything will be clean. We'll have space for everybody. So we're excited for that. And small groups are kicked off. So if you're not in one, psmchurch.com, you can find it there. Go find our list. We have a bunch of groups for you to get into for all ages and places of life. We want to give you a chance to be generous as well. And so as you go, there's a few ways you can give. psmchurch.com. You can text Promise End to 73256. In the seat back in front of you, there's an envelope if you want to give by cash or check. You can just drop that in the offering bin on the way out. Same thing applies to you, everyone watching online. If you do want to mail in a check, our address is 1650 Limekiln Road, San Marcos, Texas, 78666. We pray that as you go, you'd be blessed, that God would watch over you, guide you, and protect you. We're going to dismiss just like we have been from back to the front. And so please wait for the ushers to come to your row. We love you all watching online too. We'll see you next week.